On today's Technobabble, 7 sneaky video tricks you might not know.
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi everyone, my name is Paul Allen Clifford and I'm your host for Technobabble. This is a weekly show all about using video and graphic design in the church. And I'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you're watching the video, you'll see immediately below my face here is my contact information. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. You'll find all my contact information there. You'll also see right after my name is my Twitter handle, which is at Paul Allen Cliff. Now, all that is spelled the shortest possible way it can be. So Paul is, of course, P-A-U-L. Allen is the shorter version of the name Allen, A-L-A-N. Cliff is C-L-I-F. So Paul Allen Cliff will take you to my Twitter handle, and you can follow me there, and you'll get announcements of the shows when the videos are ready, usually the same day. Usually that also means that the podcast episode is ready if it's a show that's podcast like this one. And that way you will find everything that you need for your daily fix of church tech stuff. So I'd love for you to join the conversation, by the way. So leave me a comment. Leave me a question. Give me some hints. Tell me stuff that I leave out. I am open to all that stuff, and I'd love for you to do that. Every Friday, which this show records on Thursday, so tomorrow, we have a question and answer show. So anytime that there are questions, I'm happy to answer those on that show. And I usually give you a personalized response ahead of that as well. So let's start talking about just a couple of things. First off, I want to talk about my pastor's book. My pastor's book is called What Life Are You Waiting For? And What Life Are You Waiting For really is the question in the book. It's why are you delaying to do what in doing what God has called you to do. You really shouldn't be. You should be just going out like gangbusters, unless there's some very good reason that He has told you to wait. But most people wait their entire lives and miss opportunity after opportunity. So this book is all about why you should not do that. You should instead go all out in pursuing God's call for your life. Also, let's talk about Patreon. Patreon is the service that I'm employing for those of you that would like to support the show. Support of the show is not mandatory, it's voluntary, and if you don't already give to your church, then I encourage you to do that first. But if you love what I'm doing here, if you think, man, I wish I could help out, you probably can. $1 a month. If everyone that followed me on Twitter gave me $1 a month, this network would be outstanding. It would be incredible if I could just get $1 a month from everyone. Now, I'm under no illusion that that's going to happen. But if some people give $1 a month, some do $5, some do $100, and everything in between, then we can really take this up a notch. And I won't have to take freelance gigs where the quality of the shows suffer as I'm going out to try and balance out the needs that my family has. Every month this show costs a little over $2,000 the shows that I do cost a little over $2,000 to make. 2060 the last time I calculated, but that doesn't include my domain name, so it's actually a little higher than that. And so my question for you is, will you help me? Will you partner with me in this ministry to go out and change eternity by educating churches all over the world all about using technology? If you could do that, that would be very helpful to me, and it would be something that you could do just by going to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. That's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. So let's get started. I'm a little concerned about what I'm seeing here, that there's a problem with my bandwidth, but I'll just keep going. My cable modem seems to be working fine. Oh, and it seems to be fine now there. So let's talk about 7 video tricks that you may not know. So this was prompted by the fact that I've tweaked 2 things in the last week that have, one, taken my production up a notch, not in all the shows, but in the ones against the white wall, which is over there. It's just made it so much better. And I thought that I would share those, but then I thought, well, 2 video tricks really isn't very good. So let me take that up a notch and see what else I can think of that you may not know that I've picked up over the years that I could help you with. So number one is you can, now this is going to sound here just impossible, but let me explain it to you. You can shoot 4K video on a 1080p camera. Did you know that? Most people don't. Here, let me explain how this works. Now, this will not work on every single video shoot, but if you have a background where you can seamlessly transition from, say, a narrow shot to a wide shot, so like a white background, a black background, chroma key, those 3 are really easy. I haven't done it yet, but it is potentially possible if you are really, really, really careful in how you set your shot up that you could do this with a busier background. But here is what I would do. I guess you could probably do this fairly easily with like a repeating background, like a brick wall, a cinder block wall, something like that. So solid colors or a easily repeating background is how you would do this. So how you get 4K out of a 1080p camera? Well, first let's define what I'm talking about. So I just did a quick Wikipedia search for 4K because I'm bad at remembering numbers unless I've said them a lot. And 4K is new enough in the television video world that I don't have the numbers memorized. But 1080p is 1920 by 1080. Ultra HD 4K television is 3840 by 2160. Now you might be thinking, wait, that's not 4 times. Yes, it is, because it's twice vertically and twice horizontally. So 2 times 2 is 4. So, but how do I turn 1080p into 2160p, basically? Well, what if I had 1920 to work with instead of 1080? Do you see where I'm going yet? Let me explain it further. So this was prompted by a trick that when HD first started, people with SD mini DV camcorders were able to fake 720p by turning their cameras 90 degrees in one direction. So instead of using the horizontal resolution, they were using the vertical resolution. So 720 by 486, which is DVD resolution more or less, mini DV resolution more or less, that is 720. You flip that 90 degrees, and all of a sudden it's 720p. Now you've got some room on either side to play with, but that was the first trick. So it occurred to me this past week, why couldn't I do the same thing? And instead of having 1080p top to bottom to work with, I would have 1920p. And since I'm shooting against a white background and cropping out either side anyway, I would just have a narrower shot and then I would fill the rest with white. So that's what I did yesterday on yesterday's Eternity Changers show. And if you see the Patreon, if you go to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff and watch that video, that's done the same way. In fact, that's the first one that I released that I did that way. So, while neither of those are 4K, I'll get into that in just a second, 1920 is a lot closer to 2160. So you might be thinking, well, Paul, that's still 240 lines of resolution. Yes. Headroom. If you shoot really tight, top to bottom, and by tight I mean with very little headroom, some, so that you don't ever cut the top of your head off. But if you shoot pretty tight, top to bottom, and I was shooting a wide shot, so from the top of my head to at least mid shins, maybe all the way to my feet. If you do that, then you have 1920 to work with vertically. You add in 240 lines for extra headroom, and all of a sudden you have 2160 top to bottom. You fill in the sides with white, and it's a 4K shot on a 1080p camera, which, by the way, 1080p is pretty close to 2K. In television, it's kind of considered 2K. So what you might not know is a lot of the movies that you see in the theater were shot 2K. So they were shot 2K and then they upscaled them to 4K for presentation purposes using some great equipment. But that tells you that you have the ability to do some stuff. So that's sneaky trick number one. Sneaky trick number two, when you're editing, try and edit with software that doesn't require transcoding. What do I mean by that? I've been using Final Cut Pro since the year 2000, 2001. I think it was actually 2000. Since 2000, I've been using Final Cut Pro. I love Final Cut Pro. They recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, changed to Final Cut Pro 10. I have no problem with Final Cut Pro 10. It has something that Final Cut Pro does not, and that is the ability to edit H.264 files. So since I didn't have Final Cut Pro 10, I mean, I used it a little bit, but I didn't personally own a copy of Final Cut Pro 10. I would take my footage from my DSLR, which was H.264, transcoded to ProRes 422LT, and then edited it in Final Cut Pro. Problem is, that added an hour. Then once I did my editing and did my rendering, that was another hour on top of the editing, the rendering and all. And then the exporting and transcoding was another hour. So for a 15-minute video, I'd have 3 hours of time that was just the machine crunching on stuff because I was taking H.264, transcoding it, editing, rendering, and then exporting and compressing. So it was this craziness. So I recently started using another editor that I don't love as much, but I do love that all this machine time is 1 hour, so I have a third of the time. In fact, yesterday I was done with the editing of this video and the exporting in about by like 1:30, as opposed to by 5:30. So you see how that's better. So editing software that doesn't require transcoding, even if it's not as powerful as what you're used to, might save you a lot of time, and you might just use that for certain projects where you don't need as much power in your editing. So that's worth doing. Next, you can use the 4K trick that I talked about earlier to simulate multiple cameras. So this is actually what I did in yesterday's video, yesterday's Eternity Changers, and also in the Patreon video that I mentioned earlier. Since I had a 1080p window that I wanted to show, but I had 1920 lines of resolution to work with. Remember, I shot it sideways, and then in editing, I turned it 90 degrees. When I did that, I could, if I put it at 100%, I had a close-up shot. If I put it at 50%, I had a wide shot. I actually went back and forth between like a 35-40% shot and 100% shot. So the close-up was 100% and the wide shot was like 35 or 40% size-wise. So once I did that, I also, as I was cutting between these shots, I would move where the camera was. So I had basically three shots simulating three cameras, one where I was dead center, one where I was on the left third, one where I was on the right third, and that enabled me to really simulate this and do it well. Previously, in previous weeks, I have cheated by taking 1080p footage and zooming that in 30%, but that makes it a little softer than I like. So this was a better way of going about that exact same thing. And it's something that personally I'm really pleased with the results of. So head over to bit.ly/PaulTube for all my YouTube videos, and look at the ones that I uploaded on the 25th and the 26th of March 2014, which are the last 2 days, and you'll just find what I have there. So, number four, you might already have editing software that you don't know you have. Earlier, I talked about using editing software that doesn't require transcoding. I did not know that I had other editing software. I knew I had iMovie. I knew I had Final Cut Pro. I did not know that I had Camtasia 2. But Paul, Camtasia is it's screen capture software. That's true. But it also has a built-in editor that allows you to bring in external clips. And that's what it didn't occur to me until I was listening to a podcast. They were talking about video, and I'm always looking for stuff that I don't know because there's always more to learn, right? And they were saying, oh yeah, you could start with editing software like this, or like this, or like Camtasia. And while that's screen capture software, you can edit external videos in it. I didn't know that. I thought that the only videos you could edit were the screen captures. So once I did that, I'm like, oh, this works great. And it saved me all this time. So look at the software that you have, because it's possible that you have very good software that you just don't know that you have. So, for example, if you have the Adobe Creative Cloud, maybe you're getting it for Photoshop, you might have Premiere and just you never paid attention to that before. I do know that there are people that edit in After Effects. It's not really designed for that, but it's absolutely possible to do. So look at what you have and see what you can do with it. So that's probably a good principle in general. Think not what was it designed for, but what can it do? In this case, it might not have been designed primarily as a standalone editor, but it can do that. And since it can do that, it really saved me a lot of time. Number five, you can get better sound into a DSLR, recording it with the video footage, by the way, by preamping it beforehand. So if you can take a microphone, run that through a microphone preamp, and get it out line level, so a much higher level, that is going to give you better sound than using the built-in preamps in a DSLR. I'm pointing this way because that's where my DSLR is. The built-in preamps, at least in the Canon series of DSLRs, are really bad. They're doing like a digital preamplification, but it's not very good, so you get a lot of hiss, a lot of noise floor with it. So if you can amplify it with a cleaner amplifier before it gets there, and then turn down the gain all the way to one above absolutely nothing, you'll get a better quality of sound, and you won't have to sync up the audio in post. So that'll save you some time, too. Number six, live to tape is always faster than edited. I say always, I guess the exception is if you redo the same thing like 25 times versus doing it once through because it's on tape, that's not the case. But if you can do it live to tape and then maybe cut off the beginning and the end, that's what I do with the shows on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm usually done with the editing of those 5 minutes after the show is over. Unlike the Tuesday and Wednesday shows, where I'm done with those like an hour and a half after the show is over. So you see the difference? 5 minutes versus 90 minutes. That's a lot of time, and I can do stuff with that amount of time. So that's, I just really want to encourage you. One of my podcasting mentors doesn't get live to tape. He says, well, if you're going to edit, why not edit? Then you have more control. This is true if you're going to fix every little problem you could potentially have. But if instead you get good enough at the live to tape production process that all you have to do is cut off the beginning and maybe the end and you're done, it's remarkably faster. Remarkably faster. Maybe from time to time you fix something, but that's the exception, not the rule. So on Monday, I fixed the Patreon ad because I forgot to include the microphone in the setup. But that was the exception. So for every 20 live-to-tape shows I do, I might need to mess with one. So that saves a lot of time. And finally, I was going to talk to you about how you could trick people into believing that you've got HD footage. This footage that you're watching right now is 640 by 360. That's not because I recorded it at 1080p and just uploaded the small version. No, I recorded it at 360p, which is less than standard definition. But you'll notice that it's widescreen. Yeah, see how it goes all the way over here and all the way over here? Yeah, it's widescreen. A lot of times people assume that widescreen means HD, even though it's not. This is quarter resolution of 720p. So in order to be 720p, it would need twice the information vertically and twice the information horizontally. But since this is widescreen, people assume that it's HD. I was going to talk about that, and I guess I actually did. So that was a bonus one. But instead, I'm going to talk about this. This is what I use when I'm shooting by myself, which is most of the time, because right now it's still pretty early in the Church Tech Cast history, so I don't have a PA to do this for me. When I'm setting focus, I put this on a C-stand, or a light stand, or whatever. Put that on a stand. For those of you listening to the audio, it's a white card with a printout of a tight pattern, especially right here in the middle. It's actually kind of a pinwheel kind of pattern, but the tight pattern right in the middle gives me something to focus on. So I put that where my eyes are going to be, exactly where my eyes are going to be, on a stand, and then I can go to the camera, focus on that, move it out of the way, and stand in the exact same spot. And that gives me great focus without all the trouble of, am I in focus? Okay, I need to be closer. So I run back to the camera, tweak it, go back. Oh, too much. Back it up. Okay, check it again. Nope. Do it again. You know, back and forth 20 times to get the right shot, which I used to do, and I'm glad that I've figured out this trick because it's very helpful. That's, by the way, also helpful if you're shooting someone else, is you can put a mark down on the floor. I've got a little X in gaff tape. Set focus, and then call your pastor over if you're shooting a video of the pastor, or call the announcement person over if you're shooting an announcement video. Whatever you're shooting, call that person over at that time, and then they can, once they've got that happening, they can immediately start. You're not wasting their time setting up. You've already created everything that you need to do, and then you bring them over to do it. Do you see how that's different? And it will save you a lot of time, it will save a lot of effort, it will save a lot of frustration, and you can really get a better quality more easily. So those are my 7 tips. You can shoot 4K with the 1080p camera, just turn it 90 degrees when you're recording, and then turn it back 90 degrees when you're done. You can use a flash bracket, by the way, to do that. Number two, you should always try and find software that doesn't require transcoding, even if it's not as powerful software. Use the 4K trick I talked about in number one to simulate multiple camera angles in 1080p. By the way, you could do that from 1080p down to 720p, or 720p down to SD if you wanted to as well. That would work all the way in every situation. I just always want to do 1080p right now. Let's see here. You might already have appropriate editing software that you don't know that you have, like I did with Camtasia. You can get better sound by preamping the audio from the microphones before it gets to the DSLR and turn down the gain on the DSLR. Live to tape is always faster than edited, and if you can, use a focus target to focus before your talent gets there, or if you're the talent, that makes it really easy without using anyone else. Okay, I hope that you'll use all these tricks, all these tips, to really help you in your quest to make better video. Because video is the communications medium of our time. It's really what we use to communicate with people as we're going out and changing eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.